Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, the one whose word we gather around this day. Amen. Our text is the Old Testament reading, Genesis chapter 18, the story of Abraham with the Lord, two angels having a meal. We pray, Lord, pour out your spirit upon us. May we ever sit at your feet like Mary and love to hear your word and believe your word, for you have the words of eternal life. May we sit and listen now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, let's have lunch. Not yet. Maybe after church. That is a common thing that we say to people, maybe our spouse in the morning, let's have lunch today. Or to a friend at work, let's have lunch. Or to a co-worker, a church member, let's go to lunch, let's have lunch. A very common thing we might say. We like lunch. We'll go to lunch after church probably, at least somewhere. In Genesis 18, we are now 18 chapters into the Bible. We have really the first meal recorded in the Bible. The first lunch. And this is really a lunch. Our text says this happened during the heat of the day. Literally it means noontime. We call that lunchtime, wouldn't we? Is when this happens. And you have this special meal of the Lord. This is the second person of the Trinity, no doubt. This is Jesus before his incarnation, the Son of God, with two angels. And they come as men to Abraham and Sarah's tent there. Why is this in the Bible? Abraham's an important man. Why in the Bible this lunch, this meal? And then how does it possibly apply to me over here in America 2,000 years later, many thousand years later for that matter, from Genesis? What does that have to do with me, really? Well, it has everything to do with us. For this meal, this lunch, certainly is a foreshadowing, a prefiguring of a great meal we have today in church. It's called the Lord's Supper. And this really, really applies, doesn't it? Eating with God and of God. In the Bible, you have a lot of meals mentioned. It's fascinating to me how many times people are eating in the Bible. That's maybe why I like to eat too, Pat. It's just I'm following Bible example here. You have this meal, you have the Passover meal, which is so important in the Bible, the Passover meal. You have the manna God gives in the desert, very important food in the desert when they're wandering. At Mount Sinai, after God gives the law, then Moses and the elders go up on a mountain and they have a meal with God. They eat with God up on the mountain. If you read that, it's Exodus chapter 24. There's other meals. You have Elijah being fed by the ravens, bringing food to him. Then Elijah's fed by the widow of Zarephath, whom God does a miracle and produces extra oil and flour so they can eat. That's important. Elisha feeds 400 people miraculously. Meal after meal after meal. All the time there's meals going on. That's just a few. In the New Testament, you have the story of Mary and Martha, which is our gospel lesson, a meal. Jesus eats with tax collectors like Matthew. He has meals. He's always at a table eating a meal. He feeds 5,000. He feeds 4,000. He got all this food and all these meals. Why are they there? They're all there because they all point forward to and find their fulfillment in the meal of meals, which we have today, called communion, where God himself serves us. We don't serve him. He serves us and gives us the meal of meals. And this foreshadows the meal in heaven, the great feast of heaven, where we will eat forever, and people from the north, south, east, west will gather at the table of God and feast with God forever. This is really, really important stuff. That is an introduction. Let me say four quick things about this meal in Genesis 18. Four things that stand out and apply it to our communion today. First of all, just be reminded of who's eating together. Who's having the meal together? Abraham and Sarah, they're older people. Abraham in Genesis 18, I think, is 99 years old. Sarah's 89. They're aged people, poor sinners. They doubted God. God gave them a promise. 24 years earlier, God gave them a promise to have a child and a great nation. That still hasn't happened. So they're doubting God, struggling along, very, very old, near death, obviously. No child yet. Abraham had relations with Hagar, we know, and had Ishmael, thinking that was going to be the child of promise, but he wasn't, sinned. Abraham said Eliezer of Damascus would be his heir, but that was sinful and doubting and a lack of faith too. and Sarah goes along with all this stuff. She's a sinner too. They are there, but then you have God come. The Lord of the heavens and the earth comes as a mere man with two angels as men and comes to have a meal. This is amazing grace, church. We should sing that hymn, amazing grace of God to come to this lowly, poor sinner's house and to have a meal. God could have just spoken to Abraham and said, hey, you're going to have a child in a year, goodbye. Or God could have just stopped by and said, I'm just stopping by, don't make a meal, I'm on my way, goodbye. I have other things to do more important than you, Abraham. But the God of grace and mercy takes the entire noontime, if not more, as they prepare this calf. It's going to take a while, and sits with Abraham and Sarah and has a meal. The favor and the grace of God for doubting, struggling sinners. We need to be reminded of how significant meals are in the Bible. You know, in American culture, you have a meal, it's not that big of a deal. We go to McDonald's and eat in our car. It's just partaking of food to help our stomach and maybe a little bit of conversation. We even watch TV while we have meals and we drive in the car. But back in Bible days, to have a meal together meant everything. To have a meal together, you sit at a table together, it means we are family. We're not just friends or acquaintances, but we are family. We are one. What you say about him, say about me. We've linked our reputations together. It's very, very deep and important when you have a meal. This is why Jews would never eat with Gentiles. They will not eat with Samaritans. They wouldn't eat with each other if they were too sinful for one another. Because it meant everything. We're linking our reputations together. So God here in eating with Abraham, God is saying, whatever you say about Abraham, say about me. For we are one. Whatever you say about Sarah, say about me. For we are one. And Abraham and Sarah saying, whatever you say about God, say about us. For we are one. And it's the truth. You say Abraham's a sinner? God says, I'm a sinner too. I'll take away the sins of the world at the cross. Abraham's dying. He's old. I am dying. I'll die on a cross for him. And Abraham can say what you say about God. God's holy. I'm holy too because I'm with God. God's merciful. I'm merciful too because I'm with God. We've linked our reputations. We are one, one family. That's how crucial this is. And the grace of God in all this. Linking his entire reputation to sinful people. Wow. And he brings angels with him. When I was in high school, I went to Southport High School in Indianapolis, and every Friday I had to wear something. Myself, being a great athlete, as you know, being a baseball player, I won a letter in baseball. I know you guys don't believe this, but it's the truth. I won a letter. So every Friday I had to wear my letter sweater. Do they still do that in high school? Kids wear letter sweaters and that kind of stuff. Every Friday, a big, thick, red sweater, the big S for Southport High School. And all the lettermen wore their letter sweaters. And boy, we were the crown of the high school. And guess who we had to eat with at lunch? He only ate with other lettermen on Fridays. No math nerds were allowed. Nobody else was allowed. Only the lettermen could sit together. And you dare tried to come to the letterman's table, you were out of there. You don't have a letter sweater. Where's your big S? You're not an athlete. Very conceited, very arrogant. But we had a reputation to uphold. We're athletes. Maybe a few cheerleaders could join us too. God has a reputation to uphold. God's not arrogant. God's not conceited. God shows no partiality. God has a reputation of being merciful and being loving to poor, miserable sinners. So God must go and eat. For his reputation uphold. I love sinners. I forgive sinners. I give life to the dead. And I'm going to show it. I need to show it. That's who I am. Secondly, notice where the meal takes place. It takes place under a tree. A tree is mentioned three times in this text. Tree. Abraham's tent is under the great oaks of Mamre. Great oaks, I guess, that were kind of a landmark back then. And then the Lord and the two angels come, and they don't eat in the tent. That's interesting to me. You think they'd eat in the tent, but we know they don't eat in the tent because God says, where's Sarah? And Abraham says, she's in the tent. Well, if God was in the tent, he would know that Sarah was in the tent with him. So God's outside with the angels and Abraham under the tree. And Abraham there washes the feet of God and the angels, and they have their meal under the tree. It's mentioned three times. Abraham is waiting, standing under a tree, waiting on God and the angels. Why? Well, practically back then, it's for shade, obviously. Being outside under a shade tree would be cooler than being in a hot tent on a hot day. But there's foreshadowing here. What great tree do we eat under today as you come up? What is the great tree that you eat under? It's right here. It's called the cross. When you read about trees in the Bible, you should automatically think of the cross. The great, great tree of all that we gather under is the tree of the cross. Because of the cross, we can come to the meal. And if the cross, God, Jesus, is not standing, waiting, he's hanging on the cross, serving us with his very flesh and blood. Come and eat off my tree. Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood that you may have life. What a God we have. And when we have communion, we have the cross all over the place. The wafer has a cross on it, if you ever notice, has a cross. Think of the cross. I teach the young people, when you take communion, if you don't take it in your mouth, which is a fine way to take it, then put your hands out like a cross. You don't have to do this, obviously, but it's not a French fry that you grab like a French fry or a piece of candy. It's God. Make a cross. So you see a cross. This is what Jesus did. This is why I can be here, the cross. And we say, depart in peace, and we make a cross, don't we? And then the final great blessing of communion, may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and so forth. I make the sign of the cross. We have wood here all over the place. The wood reminds us of the cross. It's all about you sit on wood. It's called the cross. Because of the cross we are here. Christ has redeemed us. We're reconciled. All because of the cross. We're under the shade of the cross. That oak tree protected God and Abraham and Sarah from the heat of the day. Fine. This protects us from the heat of God's wrath and from the fires of hell, not for one day, but forever. What a God we have. I cut the grass Thursday evening, about 6 o'clock. And if you recall Thursday, it must have been 111 degrees. And the humidity must have been 98%. And as I was cutting the grass, sweat, hot. But we have a nice big weeping willow in our backyard. So as I was cutting the grass, where did I want to go when I cut the grass? Under the weeping willow. And every time I walked under the weeping willow, I don't ride, I walk it. Whenever I walked under, did I get a little bit of relief? It wasn't 111, it might have been 107 under the weeping willow. But I'm in shade for just a little while. Then back out in the heat. This is not a little bit of shade for a little while. This shades us from the fire of hell forever. And we gather in it today as we commune. Thirdly, notice the food. This is amazing to me, the food that is served. Abraham says when God approaches, let me make a morsel of bread. We'll just have a little snack. I'm so happy you're here. And Abraham runs. If only we would run like Abraham and welcome God. We can hardly get in here on time. He runs. God, please come in. It's you. Wow. Where's he at to the church today? We're so lazy. But the food he prepares, not just a morsel of bread, but what do they make? Not just a morsel, but Sarah prepares loaves of bread. And then what else? Abraham goes out and kills the fattened calf. I mean, can you imagine the time this took? This isn't a quick hour meal. This is a lot of time to kill the fattened calf and prepare it all. Wow. And we have the hog roast Martin makes. And we have one hog, a nice looking hog. But it feeds how many people? 150 people? One hog? They make a calf for 5 people. Now, this is a meal. One calf and 5 people, Abraham, Sarah, and God and the angels are going to eat it. This is way too much food. You prepared too much, Abraham. And that's just the point. God deserves even more from Abraham than this. And the real point is that God, when he serves us, gives us a lot more. He gives us excess, more than we can ever want. When we come to communion, we don't get a fattened calf. We get the forgiving Christ. All of him in your mouth, my body, my blood for you. In communion here, you don't get milk. You get the milk of the gospel, the mercy of God that ever flows. Here you don't just get bread, which Abraham served to God. Here you get the bread of life, Christ himself, the living bread of life that gives immortality and resurrection of your body. You're dying like Abraham and Sarah. You're sick, you're diseased. Come to communion, the medicine of immortality. You'll live forever and rise from the dead. Wow. So much more here. An excess of grace. More grace than I could ever have. It's grace for the whole world. Everybody communes. Forgiveness in excess. Mercy in excess. Eternal life in excess. The fullness of the Spirit in excess. Overflowing meal here. I know it doesn't look like much. Little bread and wine. But in that is Christ Himself. Ann and I went to, what's the name of the place? The Cheesecake Factory. Who's been to the Cheesecake Factory out West Town Mall? We got a gift certificate to go out there. So we went out there Thursday night at 8:30. Thursday night at 8:30. And guess how long we would have had to wait? 1 hour and 30 minutes. At 8:30 on a Thursday night. So I said, forget that. So we were back out that way on Friday. And we went out there at 3 o'clock. I'm smart. If we go at 3, not lunch, not supper, we'll get right in. Guess how long the wait was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? 40 minutes, and I had to walk around the Cotton Pickin' Mall for 30 minutes. That's disaster for me. Oh, no, the mall scares me. 40-minute wait. Hour and a half wait for cheesecake. And I wonder how long we would wait for communion. If I said we're going to have it an hour and a half, would you really wait around? Ah, got stuff to do. Would you wait 40 minutes for communion? We had to wait. I wonder. Wait for cheesecake, but Jesus, maybe something else better to do. Think about it. Finally, the conversation at the meal. Whenever you have a meal, you have a conversation. Not a lot said at this meal. Abraham just begs for mercy, which we do. But then he's quiet, doesn't say anything. Wouldn't you be quiet if you're around God, eating with God? I think you'd be pretty quiet. Aren't we quiet at communion? You don't say a whole lot. You're coming up here because you're in the presence of God, eating of God. There's awe. There's reverence. I'm with God. I keep my mouth shut and listen and receive. Abraham, us. And God does not say a whole lot either. God just gives the promise to Abraham and Sarah, you'll have a son within a year. There's the promise. You have a son within a year. And they do have their son Isaac, when they're near, God keeps his promise. It's been 25 years total. They've waited, but finally God keeps his promise. But all they get is a word, the promise. Sarah's not pregnant yet, as far as we know. They don't see a baby yet. They just have to hold on to the word of God. We are different today. This is why this is a better meal. We don't just get a promise here of something we don't have yet. Here we get the fulfillment of the promise. The one that would come from Abraham is not just Isaac. The one coming from Abraham is Jesus. And we don't have to wait for him when we come to communion. He is right here. We hear the wonderful words, simple words, short words. This is my body. Not this will be my body in the future. But this is my body. This is my blood. The one Abraham longed for we have right here on our table in bread and wine in our mouths and our hearts. Fulfillment of the promise. It's better. We get the real thing here. Partake. Mom and Dad, when I was growing up in the summertime, there's a running joke in our family because we never went on vacation anywhere. We boys had Little League baseball all summer. We could never get away. And Dad worked and could hardly get away. And so they always promised, we're going to go on vacation. We're going to go on vacation. A real vacation. Usually our vacation was Kings Island in Cincinnati or maybe going to Grandma's house for a weekend. We're going to go on a real vacation for a week. Oh, sure, sure. And then one time, one summer, my mom and dad went shopping. They came back, and guess what was in the trunk of the station wagon? A brand new tent. Here's the tent, guys, and a tent for 8 people. So you boys don't really have to sleep next to each other. You know, you kind of had spread out a little bit. A tent for 8 people. And they showed us an atlas. This is where we're going to go. They circled the atlas, Dogwood Lake in Indiana. We're going to go fishing and hiking for a whole week. What, did I believe then? I began to believe. They actually bought a tent. I can see the tent and play in the tent in my backyard. I can see the atlas. It's circled. The dates were going to go. Something tangible now. And this is what we have. We don't just have a word of God of what this might be in the future. We have something tangible. Bread that holds the body. Wine that holds the blood. Christ Himself, our salvation, our life, our light, our shepherd, our lamb. Right here, we grab them and eat of them. Genesis 18, a great lunch. We have a better lunch meal right here. God serves us. God washes us. God feeds us with eternal life. Come and eat, First Lutheran. Come and eat often. Come and eat. Eat often and depart in peace to serve your Lord under the cross. Amen. We rise.